Hey, did you know this podcast has a Patreon? At patreon.com/scarysundayscaries, you can support the podcast for as little as a dollar and get early access to episodes and join in on community posts with all the other hosts and me. patreon.com/scarysundayscaries. Get out there and do it. Thanks.
All right. I'm ready, dude. I need to see your nose down. That's all I need.
I'm kind of curious to see, like,
I love this. This is what we do, folks. What do you guys do when you're writing, when you're making a podcast? We just stare at each other's nips.
Sunday Scaries.
He's baking cookies in the background in case anyone's curious why that is. Yeah, lovely. If anyone's like, what's going on there? I'd be like, my wife, she bakes the cookies. That's, oh God, don't put that in the recording. Oh no!
It's already in there.
Yeah. You
can't stop me. So hey, it's a podcast. It's called Sunday Scaries. It's a podcast where each episode we take the edge off by doing a deep dive into a particular scary movie, trying to find connections between that movie and other movies within the genre. My name's Travis. I'm in North Texas, hanging out with Papa Spud, Daniel Pappas himself.
Oh man, that name's really gonna stick, isn't it?
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
It's
what's
here
up?
To stay.
What's up, folks? I'm the Spud King, I guess.
Spudmeister 5000. Our first time talking since we got back from Fantastic Fest too.
I know. For background, I was like, you gotta go to this fest, you gotta go to this fest, you gotta go to this fest. To Travis and Bianca, shout out Bianca, who did program for Fantastic Fest. But when he was like, I'm going to go, I was like, I felt like a proud dad. Like, I was like texting him every 20 seconds, like, here's the move. Here's what you want to do. Do this, do that. Go here. Don't do that. Do this. This is fun. So,
it was so fun.
I hope it lived up to the hype.
I met Mike Flanagan and Kate Siegel. It was amazing.
I know. That's, I love that.
Yeah. We were literally, I was literally just having a conversation the other day about House of Usher. I was trying to give the a summary explanation of the fall of the House of Usher to somebody, and then walking to Fantastic Fest on day one, and I was like, I got to take a picture with you guys, and then had a brief conversation with Kate Siegel about House of Usher. And it was great. It was awesome.
That's cool.
Elijah Wood was there. Will Ferrell was there.
Elijah Wood used to live in Austin. I don't know if he still does.
I don't know if he still does. He might. That's kind of what somebody was talking about. We're like, I feel like if you hang out in Austin long enough and you're doing film stuff, you're going to see an Elijah Wood floating around, and he was there doing doing a live podcast recording.
Exactly.
Much like we are now.
But that is not why we're here tonight.
It's not why we're
Travis.
Here.
This was your pitch to me, and I am not a Nightmare on Film Street podcast listener.
Mm-hmm.
So when you brought this to me, I was like brand new with the concept. Why don't you walk me through this again?
So each year, in the month of October during spooky season, Halloween, the kind folks over at Nightmare on Film Street. Put together a series of prompts to give people a sort of guideline to create their own watch list for all 31 days of October. It's the 31-4-31 challenge. And every year, I kind of dabble. I don't know how much you kind of get into this, but I think it's a really fun way to go about creating a nice little watch list for yourself of horror movies for the month of October. So what I thought we would do is go through each one of these prompts briefly. Hopefully not spending too much time. We're gonna try to not get bogged down in
31 prompts. We're gonna do this fast.
Yeah, kind of give our own pitches individually and see what we land on for our own watch list for all 31 days of October, and then we can variously go through these over the course of the next month, along with some other content, and enjoy watching these together, maybe as a collective.
Dude, fire
that
away!
Sounds fun.
Let's
yeah.
do it.
All right, prompt number one.
Number one.
Let's just get into it. Horror anthology. Yeah. So delving into horror films that offer multiple stories in one package. Each segment brings a unique tale of terror, perfect for a variety of scares in a single sitting. So most notably, I think like at Fantastic Fest, the most recent installment of the VHS anthology series just came out. That's got four portions now, four or five different installments. There's a lot of these. Like famously, Twilight Zone, the movie from 1983, has one. Where it's a series of vignettes or shorts that all kind of like coalesce together into a fun horror anthology.
I want to sprinkle in like Quaidon needs to be on the list. I think we should have like different eras too. I hate like this list has a lot of different movies. So yeah. Quaidon, I think it's on HBO Max.
It is.
So you can find that. My other pitch was Southbound. Radio Silence directed like the opener. It's just another like classic horror anthology. I couldn't even tell you what the like through line is on that, other than like maybe it's in the South, I think.
I don't think, and that's the other thing too, is like not, there's not always a unifying factor. Sometimes it is just like an amalgam of random, yeah, which is fine too.
I love that this genre has room for like a bunch of movies made by directors and filmmakers. So and the anthology format works perfect for horror.
Yeah. What do you think of my pitch of doing Kwaidan though? That's one that I hadn't heard of before, and I think folk like Japanese folklore horror and also available to stream. That's the other thing too, is like I wanted to find ones that were accessible. That we easily watch.
Easily, Willem Dafoe said it's one of his personal favorites.
So are you sold? Are you okay with that? Doing quite
on? Yeah. If Willem is in, I'm in.
Yeah. It sounded like a treat, and I was like, well, if Willem is in, it makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Next.
Film number one, Quite On for horror anthology. All right. Yeah. Number two, the Tim Burton category. So exploring, obviously, all of the whimsical, fantastical installments of the filmography of Tim Burton.
American or any kind of gothic aesthetic, and that can be like metal goth, like goth goth, or like Crimson Peak goth.
Yeah,
meets quirky characters and supernatural elements. Obviously, examples include Beetlejuice, Sleepy Hollow, Corpse Bride. Travis, what do you got?
I think so. I just watched Beetlejuice very recently because I watched that.
Wait, did you watch Beetlejuice or did you watch Beetlejuice?
Both. Beetlejuice. yeah, no, I watched that one pretty recently, and so like there's a couple that I hadn't seen in recent memory. I love Beetlejuice.
Pee-wee's Playhouse,
Corpse Bride, Pee-wee's Playhouse. Yeah,
that one gets a lot of play in the Burton world.
I also thought, you know, it's been a while since I've seen Mars Attacks. I think I've only seen that movie like twice too.
Yeah,
but your suggestion, honestly, I think for the season, given the content, Sleepy Hollow is top of the list.
Burton's a known quantity. Like, you want to watch Mars Attacks, you can watch that any time of the year. Sleepy Hollow hits special around October, November. But Sleepy Hollow, I think it's the one, like, the goth girlies, like, it introduced them to Burton in a lot of ways.
And, yeah.
Like, made Johnny Depp more of a, like, interest, love, gothic heartthrob kind
He's
of at that time.
Hot as hell. I mean, this is, that is peak Johnny Depp. Like, he is at his best in that movie, I think. Like, it is, yeah, and it's also at the end of like the '90s run of Burton, where he's just sort of firing on all cylinders. People don't like Big Fish for some reason. I love that movie, but yeah, Sleepy Hollow is definitely sort of him at his fullest cylinders. And you're right, it just fits with the season, pumpkins and all. Sleepy Hollow it is number two for our Tim Burton movie.
Number three, our category is revenge. Watch characters take justice into their own hands in brutal and satisfying tales of retribution. Examples include the infamous I Spit on Your Grave from 1978, Revenge 2017, very prominent. Coralie Farjat also has a new movie coming out, so could be good to catch up. I will say the addition of Carrie in the examples made me change my idea of the genre, of the subgenre, so to speak.
I love that you call this because
the good
it is
for her.
The good for her genre.
It's the good for her genre. Yeah.
Yeah. Because there are, I mean, I guess there are male revenge movies, but we love a good for her.
Well, there's this weird, we're not going to go into this, but there is a weird subgenre for anyone who's listening who has never heard of this. There's a subgenre of horror cinema called rape revenge, which is where it started with something like I Spit on Your Grave. And at the time when these movies came out, they were like shocking and grotesque. And there's like a minor tradition in like dabbling in one movie every couple years, every decade or so, that's like it comes out and people are like shocked that this can happen. But there's like feminist rage bound up in this like toxic masculinity. And we blew the revenge genre up past rape revenge, because that's just so micro and also kind of scary and not exactly
everyone's
thing.
It's also a little icky sometimes. Like it's, you know, especially in the era of Grindhouse, before sort of, you know, only very recently are some topics treated with, you know, any level of care in a way, I think, that like, you know, is not a little bit gross in some ways. Obviously, like, yeah, like the original Last House on the Left, you know, in particular, like one of Wes Craven's first movies, is... It's an amazing classic movie, but it does have some ickiness to it, and so
I blew the category up for to include Good for Her, which I guess kind of blew up around like when Midsommar was becoming a thing. Everyone was kind of like, "Oh, remember how like terrifying the ending is?" But also like, screw that guy; she deserved better.
Yeah.
So I added Midsommar, and if you just need an excuse to watch this and you've never seen it before, use it. My counterexample: I'm all about Teeth. Have you seen Teeth?
I've seen Teeth. I agree. I think that's a good Although, is it as much of a revenge plot as it is? I don't know.
There's something about it at the end where you're like, oh, she's getting hers.
Yeah. Would you put It Follows in this category?
I know I would not, because there's not like an active revenge plot. There's just like the mechanics of it are not necessarily revenge motivated. In fact, we don't know what motivates it.
That's correct, I guess.
So I'll take Midsommar.
Midsommar.
What
about
say?
Jennifer's Body? Another modern one. No.
But is like, is Jennifer getting revenge? Who's she getting revenge on? I feel like there's room for Jennifer's Body somewhere else in this world. In this 31 challenge. I would put Midsommar down because people need a reason to watch Midsommar.
Okay. Yeah, we'll put Midsommar for that one.
Midsommar.
Midsommar. All right. For number three, revenge movie, Midsommar.
Yeah, number four.
Down in the Underground. So we're heading beneath the surface for films where the horror lies in caves, tunnels, and the uncharted darkness below. Claustrophobic dark movies. Examples given, The Descent, As Above, So Below, Chud from 1984, which I've actually never seen.
I have not either. I may do it this year. This may be the year that Mary-Kate and I watch Chud. That could be fun.
Mm-hmm. But I think we both agree, even in the examples given, the idea, The Descent is a terrifying movie for many reasons. I think spelunking is generally a terrifying concept to me, the idea of going underground and being in claustrophobic spaces like that, and then the additional material that's added onto that movie that it makes it a good, it's a good Halloween pastime movie, which I think we want all of these to be.
If this isn't hype enough, everyone who's ever seen The Descent agrees that it's like one of the scariest, most fucked up things they've watched. And it's not even like the most violent thing I've seen. It's just the most like messed up. The ending alone is worth its weight in gold. Travis, are you like okay? Is someone's house on fire?
Is that me? Yeah, I was worried. I was trying to figure out if that was me or not. Everything's okay.
I just saw like flashing lights in your video and I was like, uh-oh.
No, it was
they heard us. We were talking about The Descent and they were like, send the paramedics.
There's always something creepy that happens. I know, I'm so ready to get spooky and creeped out. I've been creeping myself out a lot lately. We'll talk about it on our next recording. It's a whole thing. Yeah.
But we both agreed The Descent.
The Descent it is. I think that's that fits in well gnarly. Between revenge and our next category too.
Yeah. Number five, Jordan Peele. Celebrate the visionary director who blends horror with sharp social commentary, redefining the genre with each release. He only has three movies, Get Out, Us, and Nope.
Which is why I allowed room too for a Jordan Peele produced movie, but I'm okay with anything. So that's why, you know, which opens up the gamut to Candyman as well. But you had a good point. I also haven't rewatched Us in a while.
Like it's of his three movies, it's the one that gets like the least amount of praise, which is to say that it just doesn't get talked about. No one's ever been like, I hated Us, or at least no one I know. I'm sure people have, but no one's ever been like, Us is terrible. And I just bought his company, Monkey Paw, partnered with a publishing company to publish the screenplays for all of his movies.
They
just published the screenplay for Us back in May, and I just bought it. So I'm like gonna read it this month and watch the movie and just absolutely be beyond stoked.
I'd be really interested. Yeah, I'd be really interested how that movie's written, because for a movie that's as ambiguous as it is. We covered Nope when it came out, and then Get Out is obviously such a lauded movie that everybody's heard and talked about it. Not that I don't love watching that movie, but I agree. I think it'd be fun to watch Us.
I have a suspicion when you rewatch Us with a critical mind, you're going to find like all kinds of gems.
It is that thing again too, when people talk about like the criticism of his three movies and Us being like his least popular movie, it's just third or second place in the category of a couple of movies that are just all amazing. So it's just
It's that's like saying Steven Spielberg's like Jaws is only his fifth best film. You're like, okay, but he also did like Schindler's List and
the majority of movies that most
Jurassic Park. And, yeah, like he has 60 movies. You're gonna tell me like this is his not the best one. Like, okay, but he probably is top 40 are all like instant classics.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Same with Jordan Peele.
Yeah. All right, Us for number five. All right, number six, A Ghost Story. We're entering the world of spirits, haunted locales where the past refuses to stay buried. We had a whole segment on ghost and demon movies that we did. There's a lot of classics here. There's a lot of new fun ghost stories to plow through. I am okay with, like, I love The Haunting from 1963 as the archetypal movie for the haunted movie. But I don't know if you have any other inputs on this.
No, I'm with you. I think people, it's just, again, like, people need to see this. And I will say, when we watched The Haunting, I thought it held up. So
yeah,
I'm going to
second. It's a surprisingly modern movie.
I'll second The Haunting. And if you, like, love The Haunting of Hill House, it's fun to kind of, like, compare the two. You're like, oh, I wonder what they have in common.
Yeah, seeing all of the character, like, archetypes that are introduced in that movie that kind of stay true throughout the rest of the next few decades as far as, like, the haunting archetypes go, the haunted house movie archetypes go.
Yeah.
That's a great movie. Number seven.
I can weigh in on this one because I am I'm an expert. I actually, my Letterboxd, if you go, there's a beautiful essay. The category for number seven is Samara Weaving. Honor the rising scream queen by watching films where she commands the screen. Examples include Ready or Not, The Babysitter, Mayhem. Apparently, from 2017 to 2020, she just had a run on horror movies. I have seen The Babysitter. Fantastic film. I didn't know this, by the way. Just a fun, like, update. Apparently, she was in a remake of Picnic at Hanging Rock with Natalie Dormer, which I recently watched the original, and what a banger. I don't know if it counts as, like, a horror, but... there is a brand new movie. It's out in theaters and, like, some select theaters, so I don't know if you're going to catch it in theaters right now over where y'all are, called Azrael. It's an Azrael. It is a fantastic movie. Let me set the scene for you. In a world where everyone lives post-ascension. Like, the people who get left behind are surviving in the Canadian wilderness. We meet a woman whose lover gets kidnapped by a cult, and no one talks. The whole point is that no one's able to talk, or else it'll attract the monsters. So she has to, it's kind of like The Last of Us 2. There's, like, the whole thing's just, like, a lot of her, like, trying to save and rescue her partner from this evil cult while not making a sound, and she just gets an absolute beating, and nobody talks. There's, like, no dialogue in the entire movie. Here's my pitch on why it's amazing, because it has no spoken words. There's, like, a few lines. It'll make sense in the movie. But it was fantastic sound mix. They do the kind of, like, sound mixing I always wax poetic about on this podcast. Jamario, if you listen to this episode, go see Azrael in theaters. It's meant to be seen in theaters, is what I'm saying. They do this thing where, like, you know, different sounds come from different speakers. There's this gorgeous shot where it, like, pushes through a waterfall, and as the camera goes through the water, it sends, like, the sound of the water going from the forward speakers to the back speakers, so it's like you go through the waterfall. It's hyper immersive. The monster design was incredible, and there's a good for her ending, just like,
oh, okay,
absolutely gonzo finale.
Love it. Are we gonna?
It will be on Shudder. People will be able to catch it on Shudder, but if you can see this, I'm begging. I'm like, this is my one. I'm begging.
It should have a it should be in
theaters
for a little bit longer, right? It just released pretty recently, so it's gonna be out for a little sec for a second.
I there's nothing to watch in theaters, whatever. but like, I'm begging you, go take a chance on Azrael. You may be, like, mid about it, but it is one of the best theater experiences I've had this year.
Awesome. All right, Azrael number seven. For number eight, brace yourself. Four films that push the boundaries of physical transformation and grotesque mutations. So body horror. What are our body horror suggestions? You brought up another new release.
I saw The Substance. I saw it last week. I hate to be that guy.
You're not as
hyped? Particularly excited about it. I know I've upset everyone. I got laughed out of the group chat in multiple group chats, being like, it was fine.
Interesting. We might have to have a conversation about this.
Oh, no. Are you going? You haven't seen it yet, though.
No, I haven't. I was supposed to see it tonight, but I didn't have time.
There are things to love, but most of the things I love get very old very fast for me.
Yeah. No, I feel that.
But you wrote The Fly, and I think we should all watch that.
I think The Fly is just, it's just such a perfect, I mean, it's such a great movie. Like, everybody needs to watch The Fly, and if you haven't yet, then It holds up. I watched it pretty recently, but I'm more than happy to put it on a watch list for 31 for 31.
Right. So, okay.
Number 8, Body Horror, The Fly.
Yeah. Number 9, Blumhouse. Enough said. Give us the Blumhouse made. What's one of the ones that they made? They're known for their budget-friendly horror flicks that pack a punch. Travis, you did not have an answer for that, but I do.
I didn't have an answer because there's just so many.
Their catalog does run deep, yeah, and they're not always hits either. I think they did Afraid or whatever with it's about
That's
AI.
Yeah.
They also did Night Swim over the summer, which did not do well in theaters.
And the new release, Halle Berry just introduced over at Fantastic Fest, Never Let Go.
Don't Let Go, yeah.
Never Let Go, which was fine.
They're known for, they have like a monopoly on the like, that was a pretty good horror movie kind of vibe. They do have some bangers.
Yeah, they have some bangers. It's just, they have a wide berth. Yeah.
Here's my thing, if you look at the history of the company, they were making like very low budget movies, and then they made The Purge, and The Purge did so well that it helped finance like the rest of their slate. And so they were like, well, we have to make 15 Purge movies.
Yeah,
that's why we have The Purge.
Why is that franchise so popular? I still don't
People love the idea. People just love this stupid idea. I feel like Rick and Morty did a perfect takedown of it. But the original is still it's got Ethan Hawke. Like,
yeah, true. To the point that this has resurfaced in the zeitgeist recently in our political landscape. Perhaps to no one's surprise. I don't know.
Yeah.
Fuck it. Yeah, let's do The Purge for number 9.
The Purge is the movie that built the House of Bloom.
Yeah, perfect. No, I love it. Hey, it's Travis. Just jumping in here in the middle of the episode to say thank you for listening. And if you guys like what you hear, please feel free to tag us on social media at Scary Sunday Scaries. It's one of the best things you can do for the podcast. It really helps us get more followers and interact with you guys. So we hope we hear from you guys soon. Thanks. Number 10.
Silly Scares. Horror that doesn't take itself too seriously, has a lot of laughs along with the scary. What the hell did you write here, Travis?
What did I write?
What are you looking at your own responses? Are you insane?
Does Terrifier fall into this category?
Does Terrifier fall into this category?
I watched
anyone
Terrifier
who's
3
seen this
at for its premiere screening at Fantastic Fest, like moments after it was being done edited by the filmmakers, and I don't know, Terrifier
really like moments after they
literally said
cut.
The filmmakers came on to say that they had just gotten done doing some slight adjustments to maybe some color correction or something before the movie screened at Fantastic Fest, and there's something about that and just the sheer content of the movie that feels, I don't know, it's got slapstick beats to it 100%, but no, maybe not throw it into the comedy. Horror comedy.
I just don't want anyone to be like, oh, this might be an easy thing to watch, and then throw on Terrifier. They're like, oh, the clown must be funny. And you're like, oh, no, the clown does not make people laugh.
He does not make people laugh. Well, no, he does not. That's not his job.
If by laugh you mean probably puppeteer their lungs into laughing gestures in or outside of their bodies, then sure, we call it a laugh.
Be it a spoiler, who cares? For the new Terrifier 3, let me just say, chainsaw colonoscopy.
That wouldn't even be the most shocking thing I think they've done.
Probably not, no.
I put Army of Darkness.
I love that, actually, yeah. In the trilogy of the Evil Dead film, Sam Raimi's beloved trilogy, Army of Darkness is where things go off the rails, and it features Bruce Campbell doing his most Bruce Campbell. That is where the iconic character of Ash comes from, is in Army of Darkness, and I think it's an amazing movie to watch. And it holds up. It's like, the visual effects in it are surprisingly good for the year that it was made, and it's a fun movie.
Agree. Okay, number 11.
Number 11.
Sorry.
Yeah, number 10,
yeah,
Army of Darkness for Silly Scares for horror comedy.
Yeah.
Number 11, Nicolas Cage. Watch Cage Unleashed. We have to watch Cage Unleashed.
Get out of the cage.
Zany, in horror roles that are as wild as they are unforgettable. There's so many of them. Mandy is amazing. Willy's Wonderland we covered. I think Wicker Man, but that's just me. But I think I might have also put Wicker Man for a different category. So
you put the Christopher Lee Wicker Man.
True.
In the
okay.
Christopher Lee. We're gonna get to a Christopher Lee category. Sorry, guys.
Right.
Which I'm not qualified to talk on. So
yeah, oops. Me neither. Honestly, well, there was only a couple that I knew of, and so maybe we don't. Yeah, I think Mandy is a visually stunning movie, and I think right after Army of Darkness, watching Mandy the next night you're in for a treat. That's
your brain's not ready. Yeah, I think Mandy, it's like a, I will say I've never seen a movie quite like Mandy.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you should all go see it so you can say you've never seen a movie quite like Mandy.
Take an edible, watch Mandy, watch cry a little bit.
Nicolas Cage chug a bottle of vodka and scream for about 5 minutes straight.
Cheddar Goblin. Amazing movie. Yeah.
You have no idea what you're in for.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, watch Mandy.
Yeah.
For number 11.
We're on we're Mandy. Category number 11, Nicolas Cage, Mandy.
Mandy it is. Giving a movie a second chance. For number 12, revisiting a film that deserves more attention that didn't get much attention upon release. I don't know. I put the 2013 Evil Dead for this. I think I was still in the mindset of an Evil Dead. I was kind of burning through these. I think also because the suggestion here is the 2011 The Thing with Mary Elizabeth Winstead, which is it is only hated for the production hell that thing went through, and then also that it could never possibly live up to the original. I like your suggestion as well.
It's amazing. Why is no one talking about this? I think Evil Dead's a great suggestion. I feel like it's gotten lots of praise, so I never understood the, like, it needs a second chance. I've never met a person who's seen it and been like, and then, like, been like, oh, maybe I need to rethink that. Like, everyone I've met is like,
and
Evil Dead.
It's in the conversation
the new one
right
rips.
Now because Fede Alvarez just came out with Alien Romulus, so it's, yeah. But I exactly. love the idea of doing Piranha 3D.
Piranha 3 motherfucking D. I saw that thing when I was, like, 16 years old. I had no business watching that movie.
Is there a way to watch it in 3D? Do you have to have a 3D TV to do that?
Not that I'm aware of, but there is it's such a campy, like, horror spring break movie that's like, yes, there are boobies everywhere.
Hell yeah.
But also there's, like, piranhas, prehistoric piranhas that swarm and eat people's butts.
Piranha 3 dicks. All right.
Piranha 3D. They did make a second one, Piranha 3 Double D. Don't go down that rabbit hole. Just Piranha 3D. Trust me. Trust me, audience.
I thought Piranha 3D was because it was like the third installment in a franchise. Okay, right. Okay,
making sure. And then they made Piranha 3 Double
D. They didn't go to 4. They said, let's go to 3.
Well, I mean, boobies. Yeah. That's what they were thinking.
You have to appreciate a marketing team when they know what they know what they're doing. They're doing it right.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
All right, number 12. Yeah, give it a second chance.
Piranha 3D. Let's go. I love this draft.
All right, number 13, an underrated Dracula. So sinking our teeth into lesser-known Dracula films that deserve more attention in vampire pantheon. What do you think?
I wrote Stoker. I think that's like a Korean horror. I know nothing about it, so I think I was really like throwing shit up. You didn't even answer.
No,
hear me out.
I've missed this one.
Two possible solutions, but my first would be John Carpenter does have a vampires
movie. Yeah.
Yes. Bon Jovi plays a priest. I think it's pretty sick. I'm trying to remember who the other lead. You're probably looking at the stats right now. Bon Jovi, John Carpenter, vampires. They're in Mexico. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's definitely like, I feel like one of the lesser known John Carpenter movies. But it's not Dracula necessarily though.
No.
I was going to say we watched...
Oh, we're doing Dracula specific?
That's, yeah, a Dracula movie, which I think is important. Go for it.
My second pitch was Last Voyage of the Demeter.
Right. Yeah, very recent. The other one that I thought would be fun would be doing the Keanu Reeves Dracula with Gary Oldman and everybody.
Francis Ford Coppola. It's timely. It's a lot of filmmakers right
also,
now who have movies
really
out.
Really hot Winona Ryder.
Oh, is that your... Was that like your coming of age movie? You saw that and you were like, I think I'm into Winona Ryder.
It definitely falls in that category. Yeah, I still am.
So much about you makes so much sense to me now. I'll take that for 500 Quebec.
I want to hear, Keanu doing his worst English accent.
What is it? It's like Bram Stoker's Dracula is the title of the movie.
It's a movie where, like, literally everybody else is doing an amazing job, and then they were like, we have to put Keanu in this movie.
Yeah, he's at the peak of his career.
It just drags it all the way down.
Yeah.
And the poor, he wasn't ready for that. It was, kind of thing. I was scrolling because of our next category. So, for our Dracula movie, number 13, Holy 13, and Halloween, we're watching Keanu Reeves.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Coppola's... Keanu's Dracula from 2013. What's our next
category? 14. It came from the Tubi. Everybody, if you haven't heard of it, it's a free streaming service for you to use. Explore the treasure trove of horror available on Tubi, where cult classics and hidden gems await. Travis, I'm going to have to lean on you because I have not Tubi'd.
There's a brand.
There's
one
often.
That I scrolled past today that just feels like it fits perfectly into the ethos of old school video store like personality that Tubi embodies. And it's a movie called The Manster from 1959, half man, half monster, The Manster, streaming on Tubi. Looks absolutely ridiculous. I sent it to the podcast Instagram earlier this afternoon, I think. But if you take a look at this thing, it looks amazing. I don't know. Let me show you the.
Oh, here we go. What's happening?
I just want to share the real quick.
He's sharing me The Manster. Yeah. We have both sides of the. There's a man who has two heads, and one of those heads looks like a mummified werewolf head with saucers for eyes, trying to drive what could be a knife into
a very disturbed looking.
I don't even know how to describe it. Man with a mop of black hair and a perfectly coiffed mustache.
This looks like an amazing movie. There's some science stuff going on here. A hot lady in a doctor's lab coat. I don't know. It looks amazing. The Manster.
Travis's kink is Winona Ryder in a lab coat.
I will not deny that. I will not confirm nor deny. I'm not saying no, honestly. There's something about lab coats, man.
Category 14, The Manster. Number 15. Lovecraftian. Delve into cosmic horror inspired by H.P. Lovecraft, where ancient gods and indescribable terrors lurk just beyond human comprehension. I will add, H.P. Lovecraft, great, terrible guy. He was a horrible racist, but great stuff to read around Halloween. All of his stories put the fear of God in me.
Separate the art from the artist, I guess, right?
Anyways, movies that may not, some of these movies are based off of his short stories, but there are things that qualify that are not.
Right.
The examples included Color Out of Space, a absolute banger, The Void, In the Mouth of Madness, which we have covered on this podcast. But you wrote something that I cannot agree with more.
Yeah. You've seen Underwater, right? Yeah. You said, so you saw it at a drive-in theater.
Yeah. That was like deep in the pandemic when
it's 2020. So
yeah, it was like February 2020, and when March happened, the only movies like you could get, this was like when Trolls World Tour was like free for parents, and Mary Kate was like, "We're going stir crazy," and treated me by taking me to go see like any movie. Really, we'll just roll up to an outdoor movie theater and see what happens, and a drive-in. And I was like, oh, I don't want to watch Trolls. Let's watch Underwater. And it's like pitch black. It's like one of those movies that you really need to be in a theater to see.
It doesn't transfer well to an outdoor screening.
I will be watching it again this month because I think it deserves a rewatch.
It's a great movie.
Because I'm all about that Lovecraft.
Yeah, and it might be a spoiler to to say that it's a Lovecraftian movie. But it's amazing. Yeah.
It's also... Oh, what were you gonna say?
Do you know that bit of trivia about that movie? So you're about to talk about T.J. Miller anyway, right?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Well, the
he
other
dies.
Thing,
My dies, trivia is he great. Dies in that movie. Don't freak out.
Yeah. The other thing is that his so throughout the movie he's carrying a little plushie doll of a rabbit, right? That was supposed to be a practical stand-in for what was later going to be a CGI like actual rabbit in the movie. But towards the end of production, they decided to just leave it as a doll rather than fixing
they
it.
They were like,
post
it's too much work.
So he's acting as if, like, with the expectation that the final edit will include an actual rabbit. That's how he's treating the doll throughout the movie.
God, I love Hollywood. That's amazing.
It's fantastic. So for number 15 for our Lovecraftian movie, let's watch Underwater.
Underwater.
All right. All next right. category. Is it my turn or your turn?
We have not made fun. Just go.
Who cares?
Go.
Tales from the blank. Horror anthologies or episodic tales that share a common theme. It's kind of a rehash of the first prompt, I think. That's maybe why.
That's what I thought. I was like, what?
Also, yeah.
I can think of prompts. Why don't they ask us?
Yeah, right. Tales from the Crypt is fine. Tales from the Hood. Tales from the Dark Side. the movie. These are all suggestions that they give.
I haven't watched a single one of them, but I guess if you were to like tell me to watch one, I'd pick Tales from the Hood just because everything about that sounds like either it's going to be really good or it's going to be like made by white people and very alarmingly like of its time.
And it's also from 1995. So yeah, yeah. I think that's let's dive into it, man. I can only assume it'll be amazing.
You know what? You tell me when you're going to watch it. We'll like try and queue it up together and watch Tales from the Hood around
we'll
the same
have a movie
time period.
Night. Yes, please. Yeah. I would love that. Number 16, watch Tales from the Hood for our second horror anthology movie. Yes. Next one.
Werewolves, not swearwolves, embrace the howl of the wolf with films that feature the ferocity and tragedy of werewolf lore. Examples include the ever classic An American Werewolf in London, Ginger Snaps, or Dog Soldiers. You seemed kind of on the fence about this one.
Yeah, because there's a new Wolfman movie coming out, and one of the very first, like, I don't remember when I watched the black and white Wolfman, like the original one, but I was really young, because I specifically remember being absolutely terrified of werewolves and the idea of werewolves for like a really long time when I was a little kid. And even like the Goosebumps episodes of werewolves, like the Skinwalker episodes and those that were like really creepy. American Werewolf in London is a classic. It's a beautiful movie written by an
19-year-old. It's surprisingly funny too.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Dog Soldiers I think is fantastic, but I could go either way. I think it'd be fun to throw in a black and white movie here.
Have you seen Ginger Snaps?
I have not seen Ginger Snaps.
Let's just watch Ginger Snaps then. Ginger Snaps has your name written all over it. It's kind of like a MTV era like back when like Nirvana, they were still playing like rock, and the music videos they were playing had like, it was like Marilyn Manson, Nine Inch Nails influence, like two goth girls misunderstood in a city get attacked by a werewolf, and one of them, and it's like such an obvious metaphor. They're like, oh, she's like starting her period, and also hair's growing in all the weird places, and also all the dogs are dead in the neighborhood.
Is it like bears? Are werewolves like sharks in the water, or are they attracted to menstrual blood somehow?
No. She gets bit by a werewolf. This is the point. The premise of the movie is one of the two sisters gets bit by a werewolf around the time that she starts her, like, she becomes, start her, she enters puberty.
Gotcha.
And so there's like a great metaphor about the older sister leaving the younger sister behind because of puberty, when in reality, no, she's a fucking werewolf.
Typical.
So Ginger Snaps is
women,
a
am I right?
I think you would love it. I've talked you into at least half of these movies, just being like, you should just do this, Travis. Ginger Snaps is the one that I'm like, this
I'm a pushover,
one is for
man.
You.
I'm pretty easy to convince to watch.
No. We agree on some things here.
We do. And
you should watch Ginger Snaps,
so I'm okay with that too.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Ginger Snaps for number 17, our werewolf movie.
Yes.
This next number category 18? I didn't really have much to like say about.
Hell yeah, I get to win again.
Hell yeah. No, just lay it on me, baby.
This category is Barbara Crampton. She is the queen of modern, of 80s classics.
I do love reading her.
Yeah, celebrate the horror icon by watching films where she delivers unforgettable performances. Reanimator is the movie everyone talks about. There is also We Are Still Here, Jacob's Wife. I don't know. There's this really cool small movie that you probably never heard of called Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich.
Puppet Master and Reanimator are like what I understand about this. I just didn't think that there was enough here to make this a whole category by itself, but I guess it.
I'm not saying sense. Just Puppet Master, The Littlest Reich. It's a great movie. Some of us worked on that thing, and I can talk about it. I mean, I can't talk about it, but I can tell you that I've worked on it and that I have hung out with Barbara Crampton. And she is chill. She's awesome. Super fun to work with. Great, great, great professional. So that category hit real close to home. That's why I was like, I'm going to get a W here.
All right. I'm sold. We're watching Puppet Master. Where can we watch that? Is it streaming?
I think you'll have to rent it.
Okay. That's fine.
Maybe just be like, go rent it on Amazon or iTunes or wherever.
That's okay. Number 19, Possessed, confronting demonic enemy. confront demonic entities and malevolent spirits in tales of possession that will have you reaching for the holy water. Again, we had a whole series based on this. We watched a lot of horror surrounding possession movies. One that we did not cover, but we referenced a lot, was The Last Exorcism during our taking of Deborah Logan, one of our first episodes. The Last Exorcism is an amazing movie that kind of subverts this subgenre a little bit, I think. And it's a really cool, surprising, twisty movie that even if you've seen a lot of possession movies, I think will throw you for a loop. There's obviously a lot of new movies that have come out surrounding this subgenre, but I think it's a really good one, a good installment in it.
What do you agree. I have seen The Last Exorcism, so I'm not just blindly agreeing. I agree. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great movie.
Yeah, great one. Number 20.
Which is funny they didn't put it as prompt 24, because this is A24.
Missed opportunity.
Nightmare on Film Street, call me. I can do this all day. I can do this. I can do this at my other job. Not that our notes are like, you guys are bad. You guys are great. My notes are like, let me help. I want to do this. Explore the horror catalog of A24, known for its art house approach to terrifying tales that leave a lasting impact. Obviously, you have the Ari Aster, the Hereditary, Midsommar. You have Robert Eggers, The Witch, Nosferatu, coming soon. Get excited. Travis, why don't you walk me through this one? You seemed on the fence.
So I could go either way. So let's think about this. On day 18, we're watching Puppet Master. On day 19, we're watching The Last Exorcism. We've seen a werewolf movie before that. Now we're landing on art house horror. We're landing on X. We're deep in the sauce of genre popular, online forum discussion. We've covered a few of them. There's some art house movies in there by Robert Eggers. There's some really weird, challenging movies that may make you feel queasy, like Tusk. You want to go for a deep cut?
Look, my pitch is I am over everyone talking about Ari Aster and Robert Eggers movies. I can't stomach another conversation.
People? Like us?
Us, specifically. I can't stomach another conversation about Hereditary.
Have you heard of this movie? This little movie called Hereditary?
I don't need people to tell me it's the scariest movie of the last 20 years. I agree, and I want to move on. But Lamb was a shocker to me, and it does exactly what A24 is known for, and in a way that is like unique and novel. It's about this like couple that adopts a lamb human hybrid baby. And they have no idea where this hybrid baby came from, but they're just going to spend the rest of their lives raising a lamb that walks on two legs and wears overalls.
That's adorable.
In, like, Iceland.
Yeah, it's cute as fuck.
But you spend most of the movie, like, delving into their relationship problems about the baby, and then, like, the husband's brother comes to live with them, and he turns out to be, they're, like, trying to hide the lamb from him. And it's a very slow burn, and you just have these, like, long rolling takes of, like, the Icelandic countryside that are like hostile and just like shrubbery and just like swaths of
not
other
the shrubbery.
Sheep.
Yeah.
So it's really confusing. Fucked up ending. Like the last 20 minutes just like fuck my brain up a little bit. And I do think Lamb deserves its own praise in the A24 catalog.
Yeah, it's a great movie. And it is, yeah, it'll make you, there's something about like Nordic horror that specifically is it's such a familiar but such a foreign culture.
It feels untouched. Just feels untouched to me.
Particularly Iceland feels like a place where things are like actually truly magical and like weird, like the people that live there. A new movie that premiered at Fantastic Fest, a Nick Frost movie that's not directed by Edgar Wright.
I'm so stoked.
Called Getaway.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Nick Frost was there. He introduced the movie and commented on his experience. It was not filmed in Sweden because they would not let them film in Sweden, which kind of fits into the ethos of the movie. And it's fucking amazing.
I'm stoked.
We'll talk about it at some point, I'm sure.
Okay. But I could go anywhere. That's just not like the buzziest titles out of their catalog.
The only thing is like,
I could take Tusk. Tusk could be fun.
Tusk is difficult, man.
Tusk is hard. I haven't watched it, but I know what it's about.
It's a tough watch. You haven't watched Tusk?
No.
Man, I feel like that's going to be a rough couple of days, though, watching it.
Then Lamb.
Yeah. Lamb, I think, especially given our next prompt, I think Lamb, bleak ending, but an interesting palate cleanser in a way, I guess.
Quite.
Let's put Lamb as a number. Yeah, number 20, Lamb.
Hell
yeah. Let's
do
it. Let's fucking do it. All right. 21, Korean horror. Experience the unique intensity and creativity of Korean horror films. We're right in the middle of this. We're so in it. What do we want to watch with Korean horror? I feel like we've been like already like digging into this genre
plethora.
Yeah, they suggest Train to Busan, The Wailing, honestly, A Tale of Two Sisters is like one of the scariest movies like to me in a way that like I don't know. As far as like mindfuckery goes,
yeah,
that's a bleak movie.
I'm in.
Yeah, that's a creepy fucking movie. It's
sign me up. I've never seen it.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I think that's one that you should watch. I think you would like it a lot.
Hell yeah.
21 for Korean horror.
I found one for you. You found one for me.
Hey, this is a symbiotic relationship here. This is why this.
Yeah.
Tale of Two Sisters for Korean horror, number 21. Now we're in number 22. I think this is one of my favorite categories, honestly.
Cults and Covens.
Yes. I love a witchy movie. There's something specifically about witchy movies that capture the spirit of the season so much for me. Like, it's. Ooh. It's the aesthetic, like the fucking lace and boudoir candles, black hair.
I love how like
eyeliner.
You say aesthetic and your first two words are like bustiers and tightening devices. Suspiria. Travis, are you okay over there? Are you lonely?
Having a moment, man. That's all right.
I'm sorry.
No. This is the one that they suggest Wicker Man for. That's right. And
yeah.
They put Hereditary, Rosemary's Baby. It's a cult. Yeah, it's a good cult movie. Yeah, so at Fantastic Fest, also, that's why I saw the premiere of Apartment 7A, a prequel to Rosemary's Baby. And it is now streaming on Paramount Plus, I believe.
Yes.
So people can have access to it. I thought it was one of my favorite movies that I saw over the course of the festival. It's fantastic.
Yay! I'm so stoked for Apartment 7A. I haven't seen it, but I want to be stoked on it.
Yes. Julia Garland from...
Garner.
Garner, sorry. From, yeah. Not Judy Garland. Julia Garner from Ozarks. She is the protagonist of that movie. And she is amazing. It's fantastic. Yeah. I will say, trigger warning for anybody who has experienced any ankle related running or twisting of ankle injuries. It is a I saw Terrifier 3 on the first night of Fantastic Fest, and I cringed and squirmed so much more during this movie because of the ankle trauma that they exhibit, more than I did during Terrifier 3.
During the chainsaw colonoscopy in Terrifier 3?
Yeah. Weirdly, that was not the worst. This movie, though, oof.
I'm down. Sign me up. Apartment 7A.
Apartment 7A. It's great. Number 23.
Christopher Lee, honor the legendary actor with films that showcase his commanding presence and iconic roles in horror cinema. Horror of Dracula, 1958. The Wicker Man, 1973. The Curse of Frankenstein, 1957. You're going to have to lead the way on this. I like my Christopher Lee goes as far as Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, and I feel
right?
So.
That is him, right?
Yep. Yeah, yes, it
okay,
is.
Good.
And Star Wars.
Yes.
Yeah. Count Dooku. Yeah,
yes.
I've seen the Christopher Lee Dracula. But I will say, yeah, the OG Wicker Man, dude. Talk about boobies like that. There's a lot of cult related boobies in that movie.
Cult related cult boobies.
Cult boobies. Coven boobies.
Cubies.
Cubies. Yeah, there's some good.
Oh,
boobies.
Oh no. yeah, I'm down. I haven't seen the original.
It is. If you've seen, you know, Hot Fuzz, or if you've seen the remake of Wicker Man, there's a lot of, like, honestly, even Midsommar. I've always said that a great triple feature, watch the OG Wicker Man, watch Midsommar, take the edge off with 2000 Wicker Man. It's an interesting premise, and it also relates to the movie Getaway, too, that Nick Frost just came out with.
Hell yeah.
But the OG one is, there's a lot of singing in it, so there's a lot of musical elements, and Christopher Lee does play a haunting cult leader.
Love it.
That's fantastic. Number 23, Christopher Lee, Wicker Man.
Tight.
24, a period piece. I was a little lost on this one, but traveling back in time to explore horror set in historical periods. What do you think?
You know, the examples are really strong. I'm kind of sad Guillermo del Toro's not on this list already. I love Crimson
True.
Peak. It is kind of spooky. But you said Prey, and I was like, I fucking love Prey. I would give up a slot for Prey. I'd watch Prey 1,000 times. But Prey's kind of in that weird spot where it's like action thriller horror. It's
True.
Like, right, if I were to draw like a color palette... It would
sci-fi
be in this weird place where like thriller and horror just start to meet.
Yeah, it's sci-fi action, like the Predator movies, like
yeah,
where, like many monster movies that like because it's a monster movie, but it doesn't have the quality of being like a monster. Like there's no, like the threat is identified and it's there, but it's less of a looming, like, in the way that, like, almost like Twister is a monster movie, right?
I'm gonna hold us to a standard on this one because I feel like it meant period piece horror. I don't know, maybe Crimson Peak. I would say The Witch. The Witch is like an instant, you know, you want to talk about period piece. The Witch is it.
It is the most. One of them. Yeah, it puts you right in like the nest of Salem witchcraft.
I forget what else did Robert Eggers do? He's done The Witch. I know he did the
Lighthouse, The Northman.
Oh, The Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. A Lighthouse. Period piece. See, like, his thing is period piece horror. Mm-hmm. So can we say Nosferatu?
Right. It won't be.
I guess that's not for this month, but
Christmas. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, The Witch or Crimson Peak?
Between the two of those, The Witch. I feel like we went really off.
I'd take
like
The Witch.
We were trying to be cool for our A24 selection, so for this one we can like have a gimme.
Yeah, people need to see The Witch.
And it is a very that's a spooky Halloween like adjacent movie. And especially leading up to the Halloween itself, I think that's a good one to get.
Agree. The Witch it is.
All right, number 25, a movie that should have won an Oscar.
Watch films that were unjustly snubbed by the Academy. I mean, that one, okay, so the title's pretty self-explanatory.
Mm-hmm.
But horror films that should have won an Oscar. It's a slim category, right?
Yeah, horror films that are really, really good that didn't win an Oscar. So that eliminates Silence of the Lambs and Get Out.
Ironically, because they did win Oscars. Because
they actually won, yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, of the Oscar-nominated movies mm-hmm. that are horror films, it's actually right. a very small sliver of the genre as a whole.
I think I have to watch The Shining every year.
Agree.
And you got to, man. I have a tattoo of The Shining. It's so important. And I think putting it in between, you know... We have a Wicker Man, and then we're watching The Witch. The Shining fits right in there. We're kind of in these couple of categories. We're going to be in a really nice, like, sort of
absolute banger.
Yeah, we're going to be in the Criterion Collection section of our watch list here, but appropriate leading up to the day of Halloween. So number 25 on the 25th day of Halloween, we're going to watch The Shining.
All right, number 26, Alfred Hitchcock. Revisit the master of suspense with his iconic thrillers and psychological horror films that have shaped the genre, most infamously Psycho, The Birds, and Rear Window. Is Rear Window a horror movie?
I wouldn't really call it a horror. I mean, it's like a mystery thriller.
It's hard sometimes because some of his things are like very mysterious, but not necessarily horrific, except for like Psycho, which is exclusively horror. I could watch that and be like, that's horror.
I know, we talked at length about Psycho in our episode about it, which having
but I
it,
feel the same way you feel about this category.
Yeah, being that, like, as much as I love watching Psycho, talking about it and watching it during Halloween season, we need to watch The Birds. Like, I don't know. It's weirdly like underrated in his filmography, it seems like. The obvious answer would be Psycho, and we're going for not the obvious answer here. We're going back and forth.
We do that a lot.
Yeah. So The Birds, 1963, for our 26th day of Halloween.
The Birds.
Next movie, B-Movie Madness. I was surprised you didn't have a suggestion for this one.
I was like driving home from work when I saw this.
Sorry.
So that's not necessarily your fault. No.
Embracing the camp, the cheese, and the over-the-top.
I know. I have antics. Googled. The examples include like Killer Clowns from Outer Space. Oh, Maximum Overdrive. That one's kind of wild. That one. I've seen Maximum Overdrive and can confirm it is bonkers. Okay, so I have a pitch, but I don't know if it's like going to categorize as B-movie because it's got a good budget. I think the other thing about budget, like B-movies, is they just don't have enough budget to be like particularly, you can't pick like a big, big movie. It has to be kind of like cheap. So I withdraw my pitch. I guess best odds are, my pitch is Maximum Overdrive. I don't know.
I'm okay with that. Either that or like the suggestions here, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which is cool too. I mean, there's that's the problem is like there are so many
Horror is a cheap genre.
Yeah, inherently. Like, the B movies, like, they abound, and it's hard to, like, even pin down.
And to be fair, the best B movies are the ones that don't necessarily try to be B.
B-B?
Should we not to be.
Should we include the B movie?
The best Bs try not to be. That is the question.
I don't know, like, Little Shop of Horrors?
Fuck it, a musical. Yeah. Oh, what about
Eight-Legged Freaks?
Fuck. You and I, you did the same Google search I did.
Yeah, I know. I'm looking at it.
Fuck. I don't know. We didn't come prepared for this category.
Or something weird.
We're
like,
gonna say a title on the count of three. Got your title?
I got a title. I do actually. I do. Yeah.
All right. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
The Gingerbread Man.
Oh, I like yours. The Ginger Dead Man.
The Ginger Dead Man, yeah.
Gary Busey. Yeah.
Yeah, let's do that.
That's a franchise. The Ginger Dead Man fights the evil Bong in, like, the fifth movie.
That's right. I've heard about it. Yeah, that's right.
Then those movies have boobies as well. Who are inclined to appreciate that.
Nice. All right, number 27, we're watching The Ginger Dead Man.
The Ginger Dead Man.
I am number so excited 28. About this next category.
Actually, if number 27 is The Ginger Dead Man, then number 28 is an absolute about face. The number 28's category is family friendly. Enjoy horror that's light on scares, but full of Halloween spirit. Perfect for a spooky family movie night.
I'm willing to fight for this one.
Walk me through this. Give me the pitch.
So suggestions include Hocus Pocus, Coraline, and The Nightmare Before Christmas. All very good answers, very fun movies, classics. I have not seen The Little Vampire in so long. Or Casper. Those are my two.
Is that the Disney Channel original?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Little Vampire, yeah. Little Kid with Glasses. Fantastic movie. I don't know. That was an amazing movie for me when I was a kid. I feel like it was the first, like on ramp into, like, vampire appreciation.
Interesting.
Or, I don't know.
I put Practical Magic, Nicole Kidman, and Sandy B. It's a perfect two-hander. I was also willing to go with Halloween Town with you. I'm actually going to Salem in a week. So
hell yeah.
Halloween Town seemed appropriate, but it seems like you're going to die on this hill, and I have not. I don't know if I've seen The Little Vampire or not, so I will let you. You don't have to die. You can just have the hill.
I think it's adorable. I think we should watch The Little Vampire.
Yeah, call me when you do it. We'll watch it together.
Yeah, it's a cute movie. I think we'll enjoy it. For number two,
Little Vampire for 28.
All right, we're in the home stretch here. Last three movies.
Yeah.
Number 29, a Frankenstein movie. Diving into films based on Mary Shelley's iconic character. So there's the 1931 Frankenstein. There's Lisa Frankenstein, Frank and Weenie. We could watch Bride of Frankenstein. We could watch Gene Wilder.
There's I, Frankenstein.
Technically,
Van Helsing has Frankenstein in it.
Van Helsing. What are some other Frankenstein spinoffs? I feel like there's, like, other adaptations.
Is Frankenstein in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
No, you're thinking of Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde's in there.
You're right. Yeah. But they were going to bring Frankenstein into it, but they did not.
Mm-hmm.
I will go on record and say the 1931 Frankenstein is the greatest of the Universal monster movies.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I feel like we didn't put...
And Bride of Frankenstein is equally as good. So people are like, oh, that's so funny. Why did it have to have a sequel? You watch it and you'll see. You'll know.
What are we thinking? And we didn't put... Like, we talked about the Staring Wolf Man or during our werewolf little... werewolf.
See, like, I held off because I think that's, like, a good movie, but the 1931 Frankenstein is an objectively great movie. You watch it and you, like, feel so deeply for the monster.
Right.
It also inspired many iconic horror filmmakers, most notoriously Mike Flanagan, huge fan of Frankenstein 1931.
Mm.
Have you seen it, Travis? Have you seen the original?
Yeah.
Okay. There's some frames from it that are, like, down in horror history legend, so that's kind of my pitch.
Let's do it. Yeah, I think original 1931. Yay! Frankenstein. Let's do it. Number 29. All right, last two. I feel like, that being said, so the very next category, a black and white movie. we picked The Haunting earlier, right?
Yeah, I think Haunting's out.
Psycho, we kind of already disqualified. we could stay in the, you know, classic horror and do Nosferatu.
True.
But I think, yeah, I don't know. There's options here.
What are you thinking? Just for reference to some like modern pitches would be obviously The Lighthouse, black and white. A girl mm-hmm. walks home alone at night, technically also satisfies our restrictions. The Creature from the Black Lagoon did not make the list. Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. That is, I would make a pitch for that one. Actually, one's a banger.
Yeah.
Freaks.
I think, like, given some of the other options, I put Eraserhead, you know, just
Carnival of Souls. Yeah. There's a lot to work with here.
Yeah. I think Cabinet, honestly. I think the
Cabinet.
Day before, on the eve of Halloween.
The day before Halloween.
Eve, that's yeah. an amazing movie to watch. And I think back to back with Frankenstein, like, we're really leaning into the, yeah, this is peak Halloween here. It's on day 30.
If I don't know what like the Texas has planned, but if you can, they'll do screenings of like these old black and white films, and they'll have a band score mm-hmm. it live, and it's the coolest thing ever. I think people should do that.
I probably should have been writing down what our choice was as we went through these. I'm gonna have to go through and listen to the episode.
Well, you are gonna, yeah. I mean, you're
I'm gonna edit
it anyway.
It's
so
it's okay.
Yeah.
So number 30, anyways. Yeah, Cabinet.
Cabinet, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, which I think you can watch on like HBO Max.
It's got to be a streaming, like, yeah, it's fucking like public domain.
It exists.
Right? Yeah.
It exists.
All right.
All right.
Number 31. What are we thinking?
The Halloween Night, the movie. So to be specific about the category is Halloween Night. It's not just Halloween Night.
Yes. A movie that takes place on Halloween.
With a film, yes, that celebrates or takes place on Halloween.
Yeah.
So my original pitch did not fit the criteria, and I'm bummed because it's my favorite horror movie of all time, but I will walk that one back because I think there's plenty of other great options.
Mm-hmm. I like
which is to say, because people don't know what I'm talking about. I'm reading off a list and they can't read the same thing I am. But we'll go down this. Travis, you go ahead. You start us off.
I think so the suggestions are John Carpenter's Halloween from 1978, Trick or Treat. From 2007, Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark. It was actually really fun. I like that movie, and
I'm excited. I'm gonna watch it this month.
A good adaptation of a book that kind of was formative, I think, for many of us. I'm partial to watching one of Carpenter's Halloween movies every year on Halloween, be it the original or Halloween 2.
Very fair. Yeah. Very fair.
That's me.
I think you're probably on something there. My original pitch was just like my favorite horror movie of all time, Cabin in the Woods. I was like, that feels like what? I wrote, what's better than one movie monster?
All the movie monsters.
and it's like, you know, a movie about horror movies, technically, very much a good horror movie. It's hard to do those two things. And then I read the prompt and I was like, oh, never mind.
Like,
that doesn't count.
Work.
Yeah. And even I agree that doesn't work. So yeah. I actually I put Trick or Treat down. I think that one's just kind of like the perfect amount of playful and scary, the way that we feel about Halloween, you know, like Halloween is fun, but also it's like it could be terrifying.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Whereas
actually.
Carpenter's Halloween just like dials up to like 100 and goes all the way through.
It does. It's more of a
it's a traditional
thing.
Spooky.
It is a tradition. I probably will end up watching it on Halloween anyway, but for the purposes of the list. Let's do it. Let's put Trick or Treat on our watch list as our Halloween movie.
I think I would have better odds convincing people to watch Trick or Treat, like play them the trailer and be like, let's watch Trick or Treat, and then sufficiently kind of spook them, scare them, make them feel a little grossed out by all the gore.
Yeah.
And then it would end and they'd be like, well, that was really fun. Halloween's kind of a toss-up.
Yeah. No, I like the idea of doing Trick or Treat. We'll do that. So
plus, Carpenter's already on the list.
Yeah.
So we did it. 31 movies.
31 movies for 31 days of Halloween.
Can you watch 31 movies?
Yeah, I'll definitely do more than one a night, probably. And then
I was gonna say if I can like double up on my off days, then yes.
There'll be nights where I watch three movies, and then there'll be nights where I watch no movies. And so,
well, I'm not working for like the 29th, 30th, and 31st, so I have a suspicion it's going to be 50-ish hours of me watching movies.
Hell yeah! I think I might be in the same boat. Depending on how things go this month, so we shall see. But I like that. Thanks for doing this with me. That was fun.
Thank
I'm excited
you.
About our watch.
Thanks for working on all this. This is going to be a delight. I can already tell. I'm so stoked.
Yeah, I think this will be really fun. I think this will be fun to watch along, and I can't wait. Like I like the idea. I'll text you. Like I've got lots of nights off here coming up for us to do some little like watch parties, and I think that'd be nice.
Ooh,
yeah.
Fun. Okay,
let's
cool.
Yeah. I've got my projector. I'm about to throw it up on the wall, and we'll watch the movies. It'll be good.
All right. Okay.
Go ahead and
cut this recording.
Yeah, have a spooky Halloween, everybody. Happy October. We did it.
Yes.
We're here. Yeah. We waited all year for October, and it's finally here.
Thank God. It's like the one time of a month where I can watch Halloween movies every single night and not get made fun of.
Yeah, exactly. That's what we should be doing all the time.
As any divine entity, be it Lovecraftian or otherwise, intended.
Exactly. All right. Well, have a happy Halloween, guys.
Sunday Scaries.